Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
Well, today we're going to dive deep into the world of cyber intelligence, specifically looking at a group called CyberVolk and how they do what they do. Now, this deep dive is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, and they're a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
And their approach to understanding cyber threats is really quite interesting. They combine OSINT techniques, that's open source intelligence, looking at publicly available information online with human evidence, which is investigations of cyber activities. And they're looking at it through this lens of emotions, intelligence, cognitive function, how they think and learn as a group, and even geopolitics, how that influences cyber threats.
Yeah, so today we're going to look at how the Cyber Intelligence Bureau analyzes that emotional and cognitive intelligence, especially when it comes to groups like CyberVolk, and how understanding these elements helps them get a clearer picture of what's happening in the cyber landscape. CyberVolk emerged around March 2024, went through a couple of names, and by June 2024, they were launching ransomware operations. They seem to have a pro-Russian alignment, though their origins might actually be traced back to India. Their main strategies involve disrupting services, extorting money from victims, and using psychological manipulation. So let's start with the emotional side of CyberVolk.
One of the fascinating things that the Cyber Intelligence Bureau points out is how CyberVolk uses language. When you look at their online communications, they're often filled with emotionally charged words like freedom and justice. And the Bureau suggests this isn't just random, it's a tactic. They're trying to create positive associations in the minds of their supporters. It's like they're trying to paint themselves as these, well, almost digital freedom fighters.
It's all about the narrative, right?
Exactly.
Crafting a story that's going to resonate with a particular audience.
And it makes sense. It taps into this very human desire for belonging and purpose, even within these, let's face it, illicit online communities. By framing their actions as righteous, it's almost like they lower the barrier to entry for potential recruits. People who might otherwise think, wait, this is cybercrime, might be drawn in by that emotional appeal.
Right, because who doesn't want to fight for freedom and justice?
Exactly. And then the Bureau also points out how CyberVolk spreads these very strong, ideologically driven messages. These narratives are often simplified, almost deliberately so, and designed to tap into something called confirmation bias.
Which is?
Our tendency to look for information that already confirms what we believe. So if you already have certain beliefs that align with what CyberVolk is promoting, their messages are going to resonate even more strongly with you.
It's not just about logic. It's about getting people to agree with them on a gut level.
Absolutely. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, these emotionally resonant narratives become a really powerful tool for rallying support. It's not just about the technical attacks that disrupt systems. It's about building that base of support, however hidden that support might be online.
And then there's the use of fear.
Oh, absolutely.
The Cyber Intelligence Bureau highlights how they use threats. Things like promising to leak stolen data or launching those very visible DDoS attacks that can take websites offline.
Right. A DDoS attack is basically like a digital traffic jam. It overwhelms a website with so much traffic that it becomes unavailable.
And I think everyone has probably experienced a website being down, and it's frustrating.
It is, and it can be very damaging for businesses, organizations, anyone who relies on their website being up and running.
Yeah, so the Bureau believes that the goal here is to instill fear in their targets, to create a sense of urgency and powerlessness.
Exactly. Imagine you're an organization and suddenly your website's down, you're getting threats of data leaks. It's incredibly disruptive, both operationally, you can't function properly, and psychologically. And it definitely amplifies CyberVolk's perceived impact.
Because even if they haven't actually done that much damage, the fear and disruption they create make them seem much more powerful.
Right. It's about perception as much as actual capability. And then there's another tactic that's worth mentioning. Their rapid publication of data. Whether it's actual hacked data or claims about breaches, they tend to put information out there very quickly.
Yeah, that stood out to me too when I was reading through the Bureau's analysis.
The Bureau's take on this is that it's another way to overwhelm and disorient their targets.
Yeah.
If you're hit with a massive amount of information all at once, it's hard to sift through it, figure out what's real, what's not, what the actual damage is.
It's like a smokescreen almost. It makes it harder for the victims to mount a rational response.
Exactly. So we've got the emotional manipulation, the fear tactics, the information overload. It all adds up to a pretty sophisticated approach to psychological warfare, really. And that brings us to another layer of CyberVolk's strategy, their cognitive intelligence, how they think and adapt as a group.
Right, because it's not just about pushing emotional buttons. They're also very strategic in how they operate.
And here's where the Bureau's analysis gets really interesting. They highlight CyberVolk's adaptability and fluid structure as one of their key cognitive strengths. Unlike a traditional organization with a fixed hierarchy, CyberVolk is much more flexible. They can quickly change who's involved, their tactics, their targets.
So they're not stuck in a rigid structure.
Exactly. It allows them to be incredibly responsive to the cyber environment, which is constantly changing. And that adaptability is a huge advantage in the world of cyber threats.
It's like being able to shift and change shape to fit whatever situation they find themselves in.
Exactly. And it's not just about being flexible with personnel. They're also very technically skilled. The Bureau notes that they're developing their own malware, including ransomware and data stealers.
So they're not just using off-the-shelf tools.
No, they're creating their own, adapting them, evolving them, often taking inspiration from what other groups are doing. They're constantly learning and applying that knowledge to their own tools and techniques.
It shows a real commitment to innovation, which is a bit unsettling when you think about it.
It is. It means they're not a static threat. They are constantly improving, getting better at what they do. And it's not just about their internal capabilities either. The Cyber Intelligence Bureau also highlights their alliance-building activities. They collaborate with other pro-Russian hacktivist groups like No Name 057, 16-4, and Holy League.
And these aren't just casual partnerships. They're strategic alliances.
Right. It allows them to pool resources, share knowledge, coordinate attacks. One group might be really good at the initial network intrusion, while another specializes in deploying ransomware.
So they each bring their own strengths to the table.
Exactly. And by working together, they can achieve a much greater impact than they could individually.
It's a classic example of the whole being greater than the sum of its parts.
Precisely. And it speaks to their understanding of how to leverage their resources and capabilities effectively. It's another aspect of their cognitive intelligence. And speaking of strategy, the Bureau's analysis also shows that CyberVolk doesn't just attack random targets. They carefully select entities in countries that are opposed to Russia, particularly those supporting Ukraine or NATO.
So their actions are very much aligned with geopolitical objectives.
Absolutely. It shows a very clear understanding of the global political landscape and how their cyber activities can play into that. They're not just disrupting things for the sake of it. They're trying to achieve specific goals.
And that level of awareness is pretty sophisticated. It's not just about hacking skills. It's about understanding international relations, power dynamics, all of that.
It demonstrates a level of strategic thinking that goes beyond simple cybercrime. They're thinking about the bigger picture, how their actions fit into a larger geopolitical context.
So we've talked about their emotional manipulation and their strategic alliances. What about their actual attack methods?
Well, one of their signature moves is what the Bureau calls hybrid attacks. They combine DDoS attacks with ransomware. So they might launch a DDoS attack to take a website down, creating a distraction, a sense of chaos. And while everyone's scrambling to deal with that, they deploy ransomware to encrypt data and demand payment.
So it's a 1-2 punch, basically.
Exactly. It's a coordinated attack designed to maximize disruption and potential financial gain. And this multi-pronged approach again speaks to their calculated thinking, their understanding of how to combine different tactics for maximum impact.
It's like they're playing chess, thinking several moves ahead. And speaking of thinking ahead, the Cyber Intelligence Bureau also notes their use of what they call hybrid systems. These combine structured approaches with adaptive methods, potentially even including real-time AI.
So it's like having a plan, a set of procedures for how to carry out an attack, but also the flexibility to change that plan on the fly based on the situation.
It's like having a playbook, but being willing to improvise when necessary.
Exactly. And this ability to be both organized and adaptable is incredibly powerful. It allows them to respond to changing circumstances, exploit new opportunities, and ultimately be more successful. And the potential use of real-time AI just adds another layer of sophistication to their operations. It means they can potentially automate certain tasks, gather and analyze information more quickly, and make decisions in real time.
It's almost like having a super-powered brain helping them plan and execute their attacks. It's a little unnerving, to be honest.
It is. It underscores just how advanced these groups are becoming. And it also highlights the need for us to constantly adapt and improve our own defenses to stay ahead of the curve.
We can't just rely on static defenses.
Right.
We need to be as flexible and adaptable as they are.
Absolutely. And this brings us to perhaps the most interesting and perhaps the most disturbing aspect of the Bureau's analysis. They suggest that CyberVoke might be using behavioral data and cognitive analyses to create detailed psychological profiles of their targets.
So it's not just about hacking into systems, it's about hacking into people's minds.
Exactly. By understanding the psychological vulnerabilities of their targets, they can tailor their attacks for maximum impact. They can figure out what kind of messages are going to resonate, what kind of threats are going to be most effective.
It's like personalized manipulation on a massive scale.
It is. And it's a chilling thought. But it's important to be aware of these tactics so we can be better prepared to defend against them.
So what's the takeaway here? I mean, this has been a lot of information.
The key takeaway is that the Cyber Intelligence Bureau goes way beyond just looking at the technical aspects of cyber threats. By examining the emotional drivers behind CyberVoke's messaging, those appeals to freedom and justice, and the cognitive strategies behind their operations, their adaptability, their alliances, their strategic targeting, they gain a much deeper understanding of how this group operates. And that understanding is essential for developing effective countermeasures.
And hopefully this deep dive has given you, our listeners, a better understanding of the multifaceted nature of cyber intelligence. It's not just about firewalls and antivirus software. It's about understanding the human element, the emotions, the motivations, the thought processes behind these attacks.
It's about seeing the bigger picture. And that bigger picture includes the emotional and cognitive dimensions of cyber threats. Because ultimately, it's people who are behind these attacks, and it's people who are affected by them.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought. If cyber threat actors are increasingly using sophisticated emotional and cognitive tactics, how do we need to evolve our defenses and our own understanding of online interactions to meet this challenge? The cyber landscape is constantly shifting, and staying informed about these underlying influences is more critical than ever.
It's not enough to just react to attacks. We need to anticipate them. We need to understand the motivations and the strategies of the attackers, and we need to be prepared to adapt and evolve our own defenses to stay ahead of the curve. The future of cybersecurity is as much about understanding the human mind as it is about technology.
And that's something for all of us to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.